You're listening to the Upside Down Podcast,
a place for unscripted conversations
on life and faith.
Join us as we discuss what it looks like
when Jesus turns our lives upside down.
Welcome to Upside Down Podcast, a place for unscripted conversations on life and faith. I'm Kayla Craig, and with me for today's 25th episode are Shannon Evans and Lindsay Wallace.
Hello.
We are glad to have you join us as we discuss the idea of seasons in our spiritual and physical lives. So we're grateful and glad to be back from our summer schedule. We have, you know, suntans and we're ready to...
Oh, yeah. I'm so wrong.
We had nothing to do but lay on the beach.
That's all we've been doing.
But we are excited to kind of get back into the swing of things in the podcast world with recording and releasing regular episodes. So summer brought a lot of change for our Upside Down podcast co-host. So we want to fill you, our listeners, in on what has been happening off the air. So Lindsay, what's going on in your life?
I don't even know where to start. summer, I think we mentioned in the last episode, for me is kind of like Groundhog Day. We do school year round, so it's usually the same, but we do travel 1 month out of the summer, and this year that happened to be August. So we actually just got back yesterday from a month-long road trip, which is about as fun as it sounds with five kids.
And a van that broke down.
Yeah, and a van that broke down, which I'll probably end up talking about later because it does kind of play into our whole season theme. But it was not a fun trip. It was not restful. It was none of the things that we really hoped it would be, if I'm honest. That's just kind of hard, you know, because it's something that we look forward to all year long, and kids get to see family and we get to see friends. And last year it was a really great time, and this year it was just a lot of hard things happened in that month. So really, yeah, but we just got home yesterday and are trying to get settled in, but there's a hurricane coming, so that's not looking too great.
You're probably leaving in the morning, actually.
Yeah, right. So we got home yesterday, and it looks like we'll be evacuated tomorrow.
Wow.
So not a lot.
This is throwback. I feel like a similar thing happened when we were recording about a year ago.
Yeah, it was October that we evacuated.
This is not a season you wanted to repeat.
No, it's not. No. We feel, I mean, for one thing, we're being told to evacuate. So that, we're going to go.
Yeah. And Shannon, you are like me. You had a move or two moves.
Oh my gosh. Don't remind me.
Yeah. What's going on with you?
Yeah. We had a hard summer as well. There's a theme. We kind of announced last spring that we were moving back to Texas after 2 years in Iowa to join a Catholic worker community that we had been a part of before we left. And so we moved down there in June, and for a lot of reasons that like I could blab on and on about forever, it didn't feel like it was working out. And so we came back. My husband's job was actually still open, and we do love Ames, the city that we're in, and the parish that we're a part of. And so feel thankful to have a soft place to land, but it was obviously a really hard summer. You don't move back and forth without it being really, really difficult. So there's a lot of circumstantial things that made it really hard. There's a lot of family things that made it really hard. So we're kind of trying to find the ground beneath our feet again. And meanwhile, in all of that, I'm pregnant with a surprise baby due in December. So it's a joy, but it has added an element of, figuring out things that we weren't planning on needing to figure out in this season of life. So, but we're kind of settling in. We ended up, obviously having to buy a totally new house, basically in the same neighborhood that we moved from in June. So life has been weird, very weird, but we're thankful.
Yeah. And as an Iowan, I am grateful to have you back in the Hawkeye State. So
the other day, which is really fun.
Yes, it's always good when you can step away from the internet and like enter into real life, you know, friendships. Right. Like, oh, beyond the screen, people do exist. Right. Yeah. Well, as for me, this is Kayla, and we also did a move. We stayed in state, but moved about 4 hours away from where we had been. We moved from our small town back to Des Moines, which is the capital of little old Iowa. So we, it was because of my husband's job, and we've had a lot of changes with different therapies for our kids and special needs, and just kind of entering into a different season of life. So the last time we lived here, we were kind of like young newlyweds. And so it's kind of like hitting us, like we have 4 kids, you know, like this is a new, this is a new experience, a new season. It's interesting to experience the city in a completely different way.
Yeah, I bet.
And kind of in the spirit of seasons of change, we want to kind of update you guys on our podcast. And you might notice that on this conversation, we are missing the lovely Lori Harris and Christy James. And they have also entered into new seasons of their lives, personal and work and other things, focusing on their local communities and for reasons that you can read on our website. They are stepping back from the podcast, and while we are going to miss them a ton, we are really excited to see what the future holds for them. Mm-hmm. And
definitely.
So I was reading a book, and I love to go thrifting, and I stumbled across this book, and it's called Sabbath by Wayne Muller. Have any of you read that book?
No, I've never heard of it, but you always crack me up with your like used bookstore finds. You always emerge with these amazing piles of books that I want to read. I'm like, how does Kayla do it? It's like you've got this sixth sense for old bookstores.
I don't know. I just like tune everything out and I'm like, look at this. But Shannon, I'll have to bring you to one in Iowa that I just got the scoop on, and it's a giant used bookstore and all the books are 75 cents. That's where I got stack books, and it's amazing. But anyway, that's for another time. And plus, we don't want to share where it is on the podcast, because then everyone will try to go find it and they'll get all the books.
Right. Yeah, all of the 3 Iowans who are listening will run.
So, hey, there are more than 3 Iowans listening.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
Are you saying that Iowans are not important listeners?
No, it's just, you know, demographically, it does not make up the majority of the United States.
All right. Well, so this kind of idea of season, like spiritual seasons, like have you guys heard it kind of used? How have you used it in the church world? Because I feel like it's kind of a churchy thing. Like in this season of life, you know, that's something we say a lot. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about that?
I feel like it's a really handy word. And I find myself using it with people who aren't necessarily like in the church culture. And then I catch myself and wonder if they even know what I'm talking about, or if I'm just making it really awkward. But I do feel like it's such a handy word to like have at your disposal to describe what's going on in your life. So I'm a fan and I use the term.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I agree with Shannon. I don't think of it as like an exclusively Christianese term, but I don't think it's been like completely co-opted in a negative way. It is a handy word that can be used with anybody, and it immediately, you know, it, you can in your mind's eye, you know what that means, like you know what it looks like, you know what it feels like. So I think, yeah, I agree.
So Lindsay, you kind of talked about this at the beginning of the episode, but you live in Miami where there aren't a lot of seasons.
There's one.
So what are the seasons in Miami?
You mean like the actual weather season?
Yeah. Like, is it like rainy season and dry season? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, we do have like in the summer, it's just hot all the time. I mean, it's not that much different, but it right. does in the summer rain every single day at 4 o'clock for like an hour, you know?
Right.
It's super tropical here and it's just hot all the time. And that really, like, I would prefer it to be, I like seasons, but fall and winter are my two favorite. So this is not my preferred climate.
Okay, right. Yeah. I remember when we were living in Indonesia, my husband and I, before we had kids, we were missionaries in Indonesia, and it was the same thing, like the tropical climate where mm-hmm. there was like a rainy season and a dry season, but it's kind of hard to tell the difference really because it's just always hot. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised because I was a Texan. So, I mean, I didn't come from like a place with these four distinct seasons, but even for me, I was surprised by how much it affected me emotionally to not have the distinctive seasons that I was used to, especially around like holidays.
Yeah, that's what I was like, going to say. This is like, we're entering into the time of year that it's probably the most difficult because it's like people will be posting pictures of pumpkin spice lattes and, you know, like the crisp fall leaves. You're
like, just give me a fan.
Snow,
and, a
tank top. And I'm like, I'm still wearing shorts. So yeah, this is the time of year that I notice most that the lack of seasons.
So do you feel like seasons can correlate to times, like spiritual kind of development in your own life? Like, have you seen that play out where it's like, this is kind of a spring season or this is kind of a wintering season? Have you experienced any of that?
Yeah, I have. My first winter in Iowa was it really felt like that, like this sort of, I was really taken aback in a really positive way, actually, because I was expecting to hate winter in Iowa, but I was really surprised by like the kind of the quietness and just the darkness, because it would get dark at like 5 o'clock and it was so cold, people didn't go outside, and I mean, you know, unless you had to, but it really reflected kind of this inner season that was going on in my soul of just stillness and contemplation and rest and like not finding identity in what I was doing, but just being and being with the people that God had given me and my immediate family. And it was really profound for me. It was a really healthy exercise, and it made me feel more connected to creation, which I found to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Well, Shannon, when I heard you talking, it reminded me of something I read in my thrifted book. So I'm going to read a little bit and then we can see what you guys have to think about it.
Yeah.
So Wayne Muller says, "We do not gauge the value of seasons by how quickly they progress from one to the next. Every season brings forth its bounty in its own time, and our life is richer when we can take time to savor the fruit of each. In the fall, we chop and carry our wood, gather the harvest, rake leaves, prepare our home for winter, and give thanks. In winter, we are dormant, a time for quiet generosities and reflection on the endurance of inner light in the midst of darkness. In spring, we prepare the soil for planting. We prune what has been lost or dried up. We feed the soil and plant what is needed and take delight in the flowers. In summer, we tend the garden, watch for weeds and crowding, thin what needs air and sun, and rest in the freedom of long days and warm nights, losing ourselves in the gift of sweet air and time."
Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's really sweet. I think one of the things that surprised me about Miami and being in a tropical climate is because it's warm and damp, you expect there to be more of that like lush green, things are growing, flowers are blooming, which is partly true, but also things are always dying because it's so hot and the sun is so intense. And so it's really interesting to be like, you know, June, walking through the park and crunching leaves that died because things just die all the time. So I don't know, like, as far as like a spiritual connection, and Kayla, kind of your question about the connection between the seasons and our spiritual life, I think that was something that was really difficult for me, was to like look around and like, yes, it's beautiful. And yes, there is greenery. It's not like winter in the north where, you know, the leaves are all fallen off and the grass is brown and it's gray and dreary, but there's still like this death that feels out of place.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That makes me think, Lindsay, like, does it throw us off when our seasons and the natural rhythms of things don't look like the way we expect them to?
I think so.
Because the seasons in Miami are no less natural than the seasons in Minnesota.
Right.
But yet it
the expectation.
Feels, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think it's, you know, like if we're running that thread through to like life and our, you know, just our like everyday living, the same can be said for when our days don't go the way, you know, like, or a season of life, even like the expectation is this is going to be a season of planting and this is going to be a season of harvest. And then it turns out to be a season of death or a season of, you know, whatever else. And that is just as shocking to our system, I think, as, you know, 90 degrees on Christmas Day.
Right.
Have you experienced in your own lives, or have you seen it in the lives of others, the spirit kind of prompting or revealing what the season of life is? Because eventually we find out whether it's what we thought it was or it's something completely different. And what are those kind of pivotal moments that kind of like, for lack of a better term, like an aha moment, but on like a spiritual level?
Yeah. I was thinking about this as I prepared. I was thinking, like, I feel that sometimes we're pushed into new seasons and sometimes we jump like willingly, you know? And I guess, like, for me, I mean, and I think that this is probably just human nature, but I take much more readily to the seasons that I have jumped into, you know, of saying like, okay, this is, you know, my season where I'm going to focus on, you know, this aspect of my spiritual life, or I'm going to make more time to work and, you know, create whatever margin I need to be away from my kids, or vice versa. You know, this is a time to focus more on our family and less on outside things, or, you know, whatever it is. But I feel like if I've planned it and it's a jump that I consciously have made, that's a lot more comfortable to me than feeling like I got cornered into a season that I wasn't expecting, like kind of what Lindsay was just talking about. But as far as, I love that question, like, how do you know? I think you know by discomfort, you know, like, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It just, I think the Lord really speaks to us in our discomfort, because when we're comfortable and complacent, then it's harder to be sensitive to the spirit, harder to hear what he's doing.
I think I've had moments where I really learned kind of this is the season I'm in with my discomfort, but I feel like I've also experienced it in my comfort, kind of this like comfort and release of control, and this comfort and like, okay, this is what it is. Like, now I know, like, this is a hard season, or this is a season of intense mothering or, you know, working a job that isn't fulfilling or whatever it is. But it's, to me, it's kind of comforting, like, in that release.
Right. So like the feeling of discomfort comes, you recognize it, but then if you can release it, then there is, I absolutely agree that there's such a comfort that comes from that release.
I think maybe I'm kind of slow, because I don't usually recognize like the aha moment until after the fact. You know, like, it's like there's a long season of what, of anything. I mean, it could be good or bad. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, that's what was going on. But in the moment, I don't feel like I often have an aha moment. But I will say recently, so we mentioned that we drove from Miami to Indiana. So it's like about 1,200 miles, and our van, minivan, died. And so while we were there, we had to buy a new van. And we ended up being blessed with a donation and getting a 15 passenger, like, huge monstrosity of a van. So I drove, there's just so many parallels to life, but so I drove up there in, like, my Honda Odyssey, you know, minivan, in the fast lane, like, literally and figuratively, like, I was in a hurry, I was in the fast lane, and just, like, speeding through life. And then on the way home, I literally drove in the slow lane with the semis and went the speed limit, because that was, like, that's how you drive a 15-passenger van, you know? Like, it was just the safest was to be in the slow lane and to pay attention to the signs. And, like, as I'm driving home, this is hitting me, you know, that, like, maybe this is, like, this is our season, you know? And maybe part of the reason the trip was kind of horrible is because we were in the fast lane, you know? And, like, not really just taking it slow. And I don't know, there's a lot of parallels that could be drawn. But yeah, it was just kind of eye-opening to me as I was literally driving home in the slow lane, realizing, you know, there's something to going slow and paying more attention and just, you know, easing things up a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our culture is so fast that, and we just get caught up, and we get caught up in even doing good things and serving, and we get caught up in all of this, the fastness, these, like, fast rhythms of life and lots of noise.
Yeah.
And then we don't even see, like, what's happening around us. I think that's such a good picture, Lindsay, of, like, literally driving in the slow lane.
Yeah. At one point when we were driving up the mountains, I had my GPS on, and you know how it'll tell you, like, the time that you'll arrive and how many minutes you have left and how many miles you have left. At one point, the time was literally going backwards. Like, it was adding minutes instead of taking them. I guess I was driving under the speed limit. Like, I'm assuming it averages, like, this is the speed limit, so this is how long it should take you. But I must have been driving slower. So it was literally, like, it would go from an hour and 11 minutes to an hour and 12 minutes and an hour and 13 minutes. And I was like, like, I'm in a time warp or something. But
getting minutes back from your life.
Reclaiming my time while I was driving. Right.
There you go.
Yeah. It was a
Lindsay,
fun.
I want to see you as a meme
in my van.
Oh, that would
be great.
With her stoic face, just reclaiming that time. I love it.
I was gonna read a really thoughtful quote, but I feel like I can't now.
We'll stop.
No, but I think that idea of rest is a key aspect in kind of understanding our seasons and learning from it and bearing fruit in whatever short or long or complicated or easy or whatever kind of we're finding ourselves in. And in back to this book, Wayne Muller, he says, when we rest, we can relish the seasons of a moment, a day, a conversation. In relationships, we sense the rhythm of contact and withdrawal, of giving and receiving, of coming close, pulling away, and returning. To surrender to the rhythms of seasons and flowerings and dormancies is to savor the secret of life itself.
That makes me think of just, like, the way that God set up season. I mean, obviously, you know, the seasons geographically where you live, but I was thinking of even just the 6 days of work and the seventh day of rest, or in the Bible, what is the year of Jubilee? Is it the 7th or the 50th? I always get it confused. In the Old Testament, do y'all know what I'm talking about? How there's a year of Jubilee.
Yeah.
So, like, your debts are forgiven and it's like a celebration. I don't know. I love that of, like, how intimately he knows human beings and how he's created us to wind around seasons. And so it just goes back to, I feel like it is so handy to be able to identify. Do you guys remember, like, the first time that someone used that language, like, gave you that language for, like, spiritual seasons? Do you have memory of that at all? I don't have a specific one, but I have kind of this year of my life where I was in a discipleship house, like coming from kind of being a total party girl and really, despite growing up in the faith, like really knew very little. And people, the roommates that I had would use that phrase. And I was like, that's what's been missing, which is not actually what had been missing. There had been a lot missing. But I did find like it really changed the way that I even saw my relationship with God, because suddenly like seasons end, you know, so you're not counting on riding this high for the rest of your life, or you're not counting on being in the desert for the rest of your life. You understand that it's temporary and the Lord is doing a work. I don't know. It's been so helpful to me.
Yeah. And I think we see that all throughout scripture. There's so many, you know, seasons are so natural. And we see so much of this nature woven into scripture, you know, planting seeds, pruning, harvesting, all of that is rhythmic and cyclical, and they all are important. And I think that's comforting too, when it's like this season maybe that you're in might not feel like important or like, you know, it has value, but all the seasons provide something to build off of, you know? And so there's kind of this, Shannon, like what you were saying, like seasons are temporary. They're not lasting forever, but they all have impact, you know? Like they all have eternal implications, but they're not going to last for eternity, which is good for those hard seasons.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant, with my first biological child, we had this big picture window in our living room, and I found out I was pregnant in the summer, and there was this big oak tree right in front of the window, and it was just lush, you know, green and beautiful, and I love summer, and the sun was always shining, and it was just like a fun season. And then, you know, fall came, I would sit inside more, and, you know, the leaves started to turn. And I did not drink pumpkin spice lattes because I hate pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Oh my
gosh. I will never post the pumpkin spice latte and make you envious of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, and then, winter came, and it felt like winter was never going to leave, and it was just dead. Like, I looked outside and everything looked awful. Like, there was nothing blocking any of the like traffic, you know what I mean? Like the snow was dirty. Like, it, I was getting more and more uncomfortable in my pregnancy. It felt like, you know, it was like Shannon said, it's dark all the time. It just felt so empty. And spring came, and it didn't get any better. Like, it was a late spring, and it was like so discouraging and frustrating. Like, it felt like the baby was never going to come out. It felt like, you know, all the hard things that were happening like in our personal lives weren't going to stop. And it was like, it's supposed to be spring now, but spring wasn't coming. And this was moving into late March, and it was snowing. And I went and I had my baby, and, you know, the labor didn't go the way I had maybe wanted it to go. But we came home and I had this little baby, and I was like, oh my gosh, nobody ever told me newborns are this hard. Because our first child was adopted at one, and then he was having challenges at 2.5, and I had this newborn that I didn't realize I was poisoning with. He had a allergy, and so every time I nursed him, I was making him sick, and he wasn't gaining weight, and it was supposed to be spring. It was going into April. It was still snowing. The tree still wasn't, you know, blooming, and I just would sit there, and I'd hold the baby, and I just cry, like, this season is not, this isn't right, you know, and
eventually we found out, okay, like, stop eating dairy when you're nursing him and he's going to feel a lot better. And he did. And eventually I started to see these little buds coming out on the tree, and eventually it started to grow. And it was just, I will always remember, like, sitting in my room, living room, looking out on that tree and how it was, like, so mimicking just the season of life that I was in. And it, I think it also relates spiritually, because when you start to feel like things aren't going the way you expected, or at least for me, when I feel like things aren't going the way I expected, mm-hmm. I start to feel like God is not near. And mm-hmm. have you guys felt that?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think part of the thing that's hard about, like, being a human is, and being a Christian, is living in the already not yet, you know? Like, it's like, mm-hmm. we have these promises, yeah. we know the truth, and we believe that Jesus is coming back and that all things will be redeemed. But there are so many human experiences that, like, that's not happening right now. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like, the... it's maybe not being redeemed this side of heaven, you know? Or, like, I truly believe God isn't wasting any of these moments or any of these seasons, but that doesn't mean it feels great. And that doesn't mean there's a tidy bow to wrap it up at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes all you can do is just go, like, man, we survived.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that, you know, that doesn't mean that the word isn't true. It doesn't mean God wasn't there. What, you know, it doesn't mean any of that stuff is any less true. It just means that we're not yet in the new Jerusalem, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, out of curiosity, do people who are natives of Miami, do you see them, like, struggle with disappointment or expectations of the seasons the way that you do?
No, they don't seem to. I mean, people just really appreciate the weather for what it is, and mm-hmm. don't, I mean, if they've lived other places, maybe they have, but most people I know love it here and can't imagine living somewhere that it gets cold. Like, they have no interest mm-hmm. in fall or winter, and they just really, you know, really love it. It's the, I mean, just practically speaking, it's kind of the opposite of up north. So, you know, up north when it's really, really cold, like, Shannon, I think it was you who said people don't go outside unless they have to. And here, that's what it's like in the summer.
Yeah.
People don't go outside unless they have to. And it's funny because it'll be like, you know, in January, we might have a couple of days where it's in the 70s, like, before 8 a.m. and people will wear boots and jackets. And I'm always really confused by that, but it seems to be something that people really appreciate and enjoy about, you know, living here.
Yeah, it just makes me think it goes back to our expectation. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like, what is that quote, that comparison is the thief of joy? Is that C.S. Lewis, or is that in my imagination? Have you guys heard that quote?
I know the quote, but I don't know where it came from.
Okay. Well, anyway, it just popped in my head that expectations are the thief of joy. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like that's true, you know, of like we're saying, like, okay, I'm going into the season of life and this is how it's going to be. You know, and obviously the same with, like, the natural seasons or whatnot. But yeah, I was curious about that question about people who have grown up in Miami, and it was the same when we were in Indonesia. Obviously they don't know any different. And so they've, like, seen American movies where it snows at Christmas time or, you know, whatever, but the leaves change colors in the fall. But I do think that there's something so important about just opening up our hands, releasing that expectation to be able to really get what we're meant to get out of the seasons that we're in, you know, mm-hmm. spiritually speaking, not necessarily. I mean,
yeah, and I just go back to how, like, seasons are such a natural, you know, like, just even just, like, you know, like, the circle of life. You know what I mean? Like, we should sing it. Bring play Lion King right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe our editor can put that in, but only the snippet where we don't have to pay for it. You know, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So, Wayne Muller says, there are greater rhythms that govern how life grows. Circadian rhythms, seasons and hormonal cycles, and sunsets and moonrises and great movement of sea and stars. We are part of the creation story, subject to all its laws and rhythms. I think when I heard that, it reminds me how small I am. Like, I am just not just me, because, you know, God creates us, you know, with such love and in his image, but we're part of such a bigger tapestry, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So for me, one of the things I've realized about myself in the last few years with our family moving and just a lot of changes, and, you know, you could look at them and call them seasons, but I think the hardest part personally has been the transition from, and the different transitions from different seasons into the next. And I think transitions are difficult for a lot of people. And maybe I just didn't have language for it before, but I think even, like, you know, we're in the middle of a transitional season with the podcast, with Lori and Christy stepping away to focus on other things. So we're transitioning in a new direction with the three of us, and just transition, even, like, you know, people talk all the time, like, school starting, that's a huge transition for families. So I just think, like, along with seasons, transitions can also be a real spiritual, like, journey in and of themselves, you know, to be.
I was going to say landmine.
Landmine is way better. So
we are literally are living like Minesweeper. Remember that game?
Oh my gosh, I used to love that game. But
But I don't know. Am I alone in that? Or do you guys, are transitions, they're really hard for me. And I didn't know that about myself until we moved across the country. And I, of all the people in my family, was struggling the most with the transition. And that's not what I didn't expect that to be the case, you know?
Well, I think, you know, all of us, we have all adopted children, and children who have been adopted, likely, I would say, all have experienced some sort of trauma. And every research that I've done says that people who are coming from a trauma background, transitions are incredibly hard. And I think we all come from a trauma background in different ways and in different levels, you know, like, we're all fallen, like, we all have brokenness, and transitions are hard, you know, and they're obviously hard for, you know, a child that has experienced a lot of trauma in his early years. But it's also hard on all of us, whether we look like we have it together or not. Like, they're just these kind of times, you know, like, you, I'll read a book about parenting a child with trauma, and it'll say, like, mornings can be hard, or after school can be hard, because it's making that little daily change. And so, you know, there's, like, tips, like, talk about it ahead of time. And it's, like, all of these different things that you can do, that I can do with my child to help them in their transition. And I think about how a lot of times, as women or as moms, we don't have that person, like, parenting us or mothering us, saying, like, okay, this is the transition that's going to happen. Like, this is what you need to do to of yourself. Like, that's not happening.
So that makes me think, what are some things or ways that you guys lessen the blow, the landmine of the transition? Like, what are some practical things that are helpful for you when your family's in a season of transition, or maybe you personally, like, you both have started kind of new part-time jobs in the last couple of months too.
We didn't talk about that. Yeah, we didn't mention that.
That's more, that's obviously, that transition does affect your whole family, but it's your kind of personal transition. So do you have practical things that are helpful for you when you're in transition?
I like nest. I nest hardcore. Like, right now I'm like, I cannot, like, I honestly, my mind is constantly thinking about getting my house together, like, getting everything, because I just want to normalize life so that we can then start living like it's normal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, like, our home and our surroundings, getting those in order, even just, like, organizing schedules and calendars. Like, suddenly I'm making friends with my planner again, you know? Like, all of those things are really important to keep us grounded. And like Kayla said, I think a lot of the reason why transitions are typically challenging for children with trauma backgrounds is because they've had such tragic loss of control in mm-hmm. their life, things that happened. And, you know, obviously no small child or baby has control, but they also have a safe environment, so they feel they don't have to be afraid. But so the same for us. It's like this transitions are this time of losing control. And so I find myself just grasping for any way to be in control of my own life, you know, or to make an atmosphere of control. And I think some of that can be unhealthy, but some of it can be really beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think for me, it's finding someone I can talk to outside of my family, you know, even outside of my husband, that I can talk to and process through. Like, I'm a verbal processor. So finding someone, I wish I could say, like, oh, I just journal and then I you know, feel really enlightened. But for me, I'm more extroverted and I like to talk about it with someone that I can trust. But I think that's the key part, is finding someone who knows me and who I can trust to process with things. Because if you're talking to someone and you're going through a tough transition and you don't feel like you can fully trust or fully know that person, then it's just going to make it worse. Because I'll just be like, oh, everything's great. Like, you know, moving on. So it's not just spending time with someone, but it's spending some time with someone intentionally and kind of intentionally moving the needle to process through maybe some of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hard, because in times of transition, I think we can default to retreating and, like, not talking mm-hmm. to anyone.
Yeah.
So easier said than done.
Yeah.
What about you, Lindsay?
I can relate to a lot of what Shannon said, and in the sense of, like, controlling what I can, you know? So I'm totally one of those people who, like, unpacks everything. Like, I mean, basically what Shannon said, like, getting life back to normal as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. Which is good and helpful, but there is also some unhealthy elements to that. Like, when we moved into our house, people would come over and be like, oh my gosh, you're already settled in. You have stuff on the wall. And it's like, not actually a compliment. It's kind of unhealthy that I can't sleep until all the back. Like, I literally can't rest until everything's put in its place, you know? That's maybe not such a healthy way of coping. But I think just keeping whatever rhythms intact that you can is really helpful for me. Like, for a long time, I think I kind of blamed, I mean, we don't keep a super rigid schedule, but we do have, you know, we have a schedule and certain things happen at certain times. And for a long time, I think I kind of blamed that on having kids, but I've come to realize, actually, I really need schedule too. Like, I really need rhythms in place, and I really need to know what's going to happen next in the order of things. And that just helps me feel like a normal person, you know? So as much as possible, even when, you know, it might be a crazy season or a transition or we're traveling, I try to keep just some basic rhythms in place so that things just feel, you know, a little more controlled, I guess.
Right. Do you have any spiritual rhythms that you try to keep intact when everything else is maybe exploding?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one is I do 4 hours of solitude every Monday, and that is pretty, like, make or break. Like, if the world is on fire, it might not happen, but apart from that, like, I'm going to get my 4 hours of solitude. That's the big one. That's the
one. So what is, you know, you have a lot of kids and neighbors and husband and, you know, work. What does solitude look like?
I'm literally alone for 4 hours. And I mean, we have a bit of a unique situation because William mostly works from home or is around. But so we both do 4 hours of solitude on Monday. And so I go in the morning and he stays home with the kids and he goes in the afternoon and then I'm here, obviously. So I leave and usually I go to the beach, which I'm not a beach person. I would much rather be in the mountains, but they don't have those here. So
take what you can get.
Yeah, I take what I can get. And I've come to really, you know, appreciate it in its own way. But I mean, I'm just alone and I try not to do any technology. And sometimes I read a book, but I mean, I'm really just alone and quiet with, you know, with the Lord. And yeah, it's just like a blank, I don't know. It's just a place.
It's Sabbath.
To go. Yeah, it's Sabbath. It's just a place to go and be alone and be quiet and be small and listen, you know? And not feel any pressure to like be or do anything, like just
or consume,
like or create or perform or, you know, it's just just
fill in the blank.
Yeah,
I think that's a good point. Like getting out with nature, like that can be a a really spiritual experience to just turn things off and get outside in whatever way you can.
Right. I'm so challenged by that because when I think of like alone time, I'm like, oh, I can do this or I can, you know, I can get this done. Like I just, it would be such a hard discipline for me to unplug everything, to accomplish nothing and just to like let my soul be refreshed in the Lord. Yeah. I'm like, man, I need to make room for that in my week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a huge discipline. Because we all have, you know, lots of kids and stuff to do. And my go-to is like, oh, I got to do this and this and this and this. But it's really prioritizing. I love too that it's on Monday. We kind of did that on purpose. Like it's the first thing that happens in my week. And so it's prioritizing rest. And Salem, actually, when we talked to her about self-care, that was one of the things that she mentioned, like putting self-care first, because then when the hard crappy thing happens, you're already like fresh and ready for it. And as opposed to like, I think, and even, I mean, even I often think of self-care as like reactive, but to really be proactive and to put it first so that you're better able to handle the meltdown or the traffic or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like a healthy tool during a time of transition.
Yeah.
To have that set in place and then it doesn't change. You're still getting that every week. I think that's brilliant. I'm like, man, I wish I had been doing that all summer, you know.
Shannon, as our Catholic representative, I know that you definitely, you know, a lot of us follow the church calendar, but is there anything, you know, that you practice in your faith that kind of keeps you rooted, you know, liturgical or likewise that kind of doesn't change no matter what is going on otherwise?
Yeah, sure. That's one thing that I really love about the church calendar and liturgical seasons is just like the knowing what's coming every year and kind of knowing like how to prepare my heart for it. So like Lent and Advent are more like introspective, like offering your heart before the Lord, and Easter and Christmas is actually, 12 days. And then Easter is actually like 40 days. And just like the celebratory and kind of like the rejoicing in the gift of grace and the gift of Christ. And then there's like ordinary time, which is most of the year, and you're kind of, plowing, I guess you could say, you know, planting, plowing, or I'm not a farmer. I don't know, but just kind of the day to day, the ordinary, you know, of just like investing in, you know, the spiritual disciplines, kind of the mundane. So I love that rhythm. It's given me so much peace. And it's like, it feels different from year to year. Like one year, Lent might feel like more on the intense side. And then the next year it's, you know, it feels like a lighter kind of thing, or my perspective might be different, but that's really helped me because I'm somebody who can get really caught up on like how things are supposed to feel or like what my spiritual life is supposed to be. So it's freeing to me to kind of release into like this historic calendar of like, these are the cycles that like we as a universal body are going through and kind of enter into that.
Yeah.
But then as far as like in the daily, my husband does follows more of like the liturgy of the hours, like the different prayer times during the day. But as a family, we've done night prayer. We were doing it really consistently this summer. And then when we moved back to Iowa, we've gotten off track, but that's been a really beautiful practice. And we were doing morning prayer actually this summer too, but I don't know. I feel like with just busy family life, like that's not always something that you can do every day, but it is nice to have at your disposal. And I'm hoping that we can choose like either morning or night as a family to follow the liturgy and light some candles and say some prayers, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a grace. I'm glad you asked that because I wouldn't have even like, it wasn't even on my radar in this conversation. It should have been, but yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, I think that I have things to think about now after this conversation, and I hope that our listeners do too. So we always want to, you know, hear what our listeners have to say. So you guys can join us on Facebook. We have a group called Upside Down Tribe, and it's a private group. So just search for us and we will let you in. Not
a promise. You don't have to know the secret password or drink.
Yeah. We also want to let you know about a special episode we have coming up. And with our three co-hosts now instead of five, we want to think creatively about ways to have other people kind of join in on our conversation. And we listen to a lot of great podcasts that do interviews, and that's not really our format, but we do want to open the table every once in a while for someone to join us in a conversation. And we're really excited to have a special guest with us for our next episode, episode 26, where we're going to be talking about something that you may have seen or heard, especially if you have followed some of Lindsay's hashtags. But we're talking about commitment to celebration. And I'm really excited about it. And with this commitment to celebration, we will be doing some upcoming giveaways with some awesome small businesses that were, they've sent some stuff over, and I don't want to share it all, but you know.
But it's good.
I guess I have to.
It's our
good.
One-year anniversary.
So
right? It's our one-year birthday.
Yeah, it's our one-year birthday anniversary celebration. So we're talking about commitment to celebration, and you can follow us on Instagram. We are Upside Down Podcast. You go to our website. I'm telling you to do this, listeners. Go to our website because Lori and Christy have a little something there for you, kind of their goodbye. We wanted them to be able to share in their words, kind of about their transitions and their season. So check it out. And obviously you can always, you know, follow them and their blogs and their Instagrams as well. And yeah, we just want to say thank you guys for listening. Thanks for sticking it out with us for a full year. We're excited for what the future holds. So thanks for joining us. Where are we at on time? Does anybody know?